Another viewer of my social media who's asked about their pension and why it's underperforming. So let's look at that. Now, I've covered this issue, about 25 years ago in one of my books, Investing Unplugged, which was published by Paul Graham Macmillan. I've done others by the Financial Times. So this is not something that I'm new to. This is something I've been covering for 25 years, a problem with underperformance amongst the fund management industry. Of course, Eugene Fehmer got a Nobel Prize in economics for his work on it. So it's something which isn't exactly out of the news if you're into that kind of thing. So let's have a look at the BlackRock, big name, world's largest asset manager. iShares Pacific, excluding Japan, which is unfortunate because actually Japan's been doing rather well over the last couple of years. So they've just excluded the one place that they shouldn't have. Let's look at their annualized performance. Over 1 year, 4.3%. There's a bit of a problem with this. This is how I'm going to look at anybody's pension, including if it was mine. I'm going to compare it not to the worst things out there, what would I got in a bank? Well, actually, in a bank, you would have got more. You would have got about 4.9% I get at the moment with my bank account with instant access. So that's 1 year. I'm going to compare it to the fact that over the past year, the NASDAQ's up 50%. Last year, it was up 55%, but over the past year, from the date of this recording, it's up 50%. And the S&P's up, last year was up 25%. Now, you might say, well, that's an unfair comparison. Listen, it's my pension. It's not a court of law, the United Nations, where I'm seeking some kind of justice. It's my blasted pension, and I better be getting absolute positive high returns. Okay? I'm not going to sit there weeping in my old age going, well, at least I was fair to other people. So I'm going to be unfair. And this is not a fund I'd ever want in my pension. Okay? Pacific. Where's the money being made? Is it in the Pacific? Is it? Well, I must have missed that. The greatest innovation in the world? Artificial intelligence, maybe? Cybersecurity, space technology, health technology? It's happening in the Pacific, is it? Oh, I didn't know that. I must have missed it. How is Bora Bora doing right now for innovation? Good for tourism. 3 years, 2.25% annualized. So that's 2.25% per annum over the last 3 years. Over the last 3 years, admittedly in 2022, the American markets had a dip. The 2023 and 2021 were part of some of the biggest upward moves in the stock market since 1945. They've been absolutely massive. And these guys got 2.25%. Not their fault. They weren't looking at the American markets. They were investing in the Pacific. That's not what worries me. Everybody's got a right to make a living, even the world's largest asset manager. What worries me is that some IFA or wealth manager put them in this because they thought, let's see, where should we roll the dice? Pacific? Genius. Over 10 years, not too bad, better than a bank account. And somebody said something interesting to me, said, Harpesh, we're not trying to get good returns. We're just trying to beat a bank account. That worries me. it just worries me. So over 10 years, not too bad, but not very blooming useful over the biggest bull markets we've just had. So, and since inception, about 8%. Well, like I said, I'm getting 5% at the moment, and over the last 3 years, doesn't hold well. So what is it? What is it that they've got? They've got Taiwan Semiconductor, not too bad. 11% of their holdings in Taiwan. That's actually not bad. I've got Taiwan Semiconductor. And I don't have as much as 11%. I've actually got less than that. So I quite like the fact that they've got some concentration in that one company. Everything else, look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. By the time you get to the 10th holding, they've got less than 1.5%. Okay, so basically the things they feel strongest about are their top 10 holdings. And yet, after the second holding, they don't have more than 5% in anything. So these two they feel really strongly about, which is great, because with all their expertise, I'd like to think they've got some confidence in their abilities by now, exemplified by holding more than 5% of your portfolio in something. Clearly, they must have about 50 holdings, mathematically, because if that's their top 10, they could have 1,000, of course, technically. The mathematicians will show you that. But let's assume they got about 50. So no belief or conviction in pretty much anything. It's just extraordinary. And as I said, the returns are pretty poor. And they think that's a high risk factor. It's not like, oh, well, Arpesh, they were just going for low risk. That's why they've got 1,000 things. They think that's high risk, relatively high risk. Somebody is ass covering, as the Americans would say. So what's the alternative? People often ask me. Let's say you do a SIP or an ISA, which is government tax avoidance schemes where you open an account and you select yourself. Most people say, well, I don't know how to select myself. And sadly, it is true. 1% of people will probably know how to open a SIP and ISA. You know, they're the rich ones who read the Sunday Times and the Telegraph. And even they'll get it wrong because they'll keep buying UK companies. But I'm afraid that's the route. And look, if you want to have a start at some free information, and you can even download a copy of my book, have a look at campaignforamillion.com, campaignforamillion.com. But I'm afraid otherwise you do end up with stuff like this. And people say, okay, well, which fund then, Alpesh? I can't, in all honesty, pick one for you because I'd be feeling pretty bloody awful. So we'll try and see if there's some kind of way around this problem, okay, where if you don't want to do it yourself, which is what I'm about giving people the data and teaching them how to do it themselves, and we have people who are completely new to it all and very happy to learn to do it themselves and have the data and knowledge to be able to do it. And I don't mean knowledge as in left alone, I mean me hand-holding them over calls, okay, one-to-one. But that's only a small group of people who'd want to do that. What do you do with everybody else? And I've got to find a solution, and I haven't found that solution. You might say, oh, it's an index tracker. The problem with the index tracker is in 2022, when we went into cash, the index went down 20-25%. That doesn't work, and let alone other periods. When I've given talks for the Financial Times, I've given talks for Bloomberg TV, when I used to do my show, I used to show long periods where the index just goes sideways and gives you a 0% return. And don't forget, the FTSE 100 is up 7% since 1999. That's an index. I don't mean per year, I mean overall. So that's not going to be the solution. So I'll try and come up with something which is relatively safe. I haven't come up with something yet which gives decent returns, other than doing it yourself and having that portfolio of 20 stocks, so 5% of your money in each one, and making sure you can't lose more than 25% on any one of those picks, which would then mean that the most risk to your portfolio is 1.25%. Okay? So anyway, thanks very much, and keep watching this space.